This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Kent Willis is the executive director of the ACLU of Virginia, the American Civil Liberties Union, and he joins us live on the long line from his office in Richmond. Good afternoon, Kent.
Good afternoon, Coy.
Now, y'all are the authors of the Civil Liberties Review, and I guess every year you sort of go take your fine-tooth comb and look at the General Assembly session in Virginia and look at it with a particular eye towards civil liberties.
That's exactly right.
And I guess you release this report each year and say, okay, for all of you who care deeply about your civil liberties, this is what your state government in Virginia did or didn't do this year.
That's right. It's and of course, for us often, the good news is what they didn't do. because we unfortunately in Virginia find ourselves in the business of blocking bad bills more so than supporting good bills, because there are so few good bills. However, this year there are a couple of good bills that I'd like to report on, because while these are not the sort of things that cause people to run out their door screaming the good news, there are a couple of good things that happen. And one actually is pretty significant, and this is the removal of the caps on fees for court-appointed attorneys. Now, that may sound pretty dull to a lot of people, but Virginia has ranked for at least the last 10 years, maybe longer, last in the nation in the amount of money it pays court-appointed attorneys who represent indigent criminal defendants. Now, if we all care about a fair trial, we care about everyone getting a fair trial, including people who don't have any money. But when you create a hard cap the way Virginia does, and that is pay X amount depending on what the depending on the crime of which the person is accused, people often get very, very poor representation. Finally, in Virginia, after many years of working on this, a whole lot of people came together, and what they didn't do was to raise the amount of money that each attorney gets, depending on the crime that's involved, or the accused crime that's been involved. But what they did was they removed the hard cap. And what they said is any attorney who's representing a client who believes that the cap is not paying them enough to offer fair and adequate representation of this person can go to the court and say, I need more money in order to represent this person fairly, and here's why. And that's a big breakthrough for Virginia, and it's good to see that legislators from across the board, Republicans and Democrats alike, supported this bill, and I think it's a real breakthrough for us.
Kent Willis is the executive director of the ACLU of Virginia. It doesn't take, you don't have to have a law degree to realize that if you have an attorney representing you who's very, very poorly paid, chances are you're not going to get terrific representation in the courtroom. If you can afford great representation, well, heck, you can be like OJ and kill a couple people and get away with it. But and that's just my two cents.
Well, no, and that's what people know, is that if you can hire a really good lawyer, then the system works in your favor. And if you can't, then it works against you. And this doesn't mean that indigent clients are going to get the same kind of representation as OJ, but it means they're going to get better representation than they did before. I mean, it's downright embarrassing that Virginia was ranked last in the nation in how much it paid its court-appointed attorneys.
Right, right. So this is wonderful that the General Assembly recognized this and has at least opened the door towards improving the situation.
Absolutely. Another issue I think that's interesting and almost ironic is last fall, as you well know, Virginia passed an amendment to the Constitution banning gay marriage and also banning lots of different kinds of legal relationships between gays and lesbians. And many of us considered one of the lowest points in Virginia political history in many, many years, partly because of what it accomplished and partly because of the terrible message it sent to gays and lesbians across the state. It basically said, you're not welcome here. But the General Assembly turned around this year and passed a bill that, while neutral on its face, everyone knew what it was really about. And it's a bill that requires hospitals to allow people to choose the visitors of their choice. Previously, hospitals in Virginia could say, well, who can visit you and who can't? Now, clearly they can have neutral rules, like you can have only so many people in your room or only these visiting hours, things like that. But before, they could prevent you from having your neighbor visit you or your uncle visit you, but particularly they could have your gay partner might not be able to visit you under hospital rules. Now they can't do that. This says that patients have the right to choose the visitors they want. And everyone knew that what this bill was doing. It was clearly protecting the right of gays and lesbians to visit each other in the hospital. And it's an interesting thing. It's a little bill in many ways, but it's a very different message from the one that was sent out last fall regarding gay and lesbian rights.
And in effect, it removes then, the folks who were advocating that gays and lesbians ought to be able to get married. They kept saying one of the reasons they should be able to enjoy that arrangement is so they can go visit their partner in the hospital. And this then removes that rationale.
That one, at least. I mean, there are lots of other reasons why they should be able to get married, but there was one. This is a little barrier broken down. I think sort of psychologically an important one. And maybe we'll see more little breakthroughs like this.
We're talking with Kent Willis, the executive director of the ACLU of Virginia. And the Civil Liberties Review of the Virginia General Assembly 2000 session is available online at ACLUVA.org. You can read the whole thing right there for yourself. Hey, Kent, I'm curious. We're going to take a quick break here, but before we go to break, how does Virginia rank as compared to the other states when it comes to civil liberties? Like when you go to a national convention of all your counterparts in the ACLU and y'all sit around, do they all look at you and say, oh, poor Kent, man, you're from Virginia and it's really bad there? Or do they say, oh, we wish we were more like Virginia?
They say the former, unfortunately. They usually have some message about some idiotic thing done by Virginia's public officials. Usually it's made the news. And it's interesting because Virginia does seem to be stuck in this place. We're certainly not one of the what you might consider a progressive state in any way, shape, or form. And there are other states that are considered more conservative, Virginia, but many of those have a stronger libertarian streak. So they're ones that at least protect people's privacy better than Virginia, or at least look at these issues about government involvement in people's lives, like gay and lesbian rights issues. So Virginia is sort of stuck in this place in between where we neither have the sort of strong libertarian streak nor a strong progressive streak, and sometimes the worst of things seem to intersect here in Virginia.
Let's rejoin the conversation with Kent Willis, the executive director of the ACLU of Virginia. Kent, what are your thoughts on the abusive driver fees? Has your organization put out any statement about it yet? Or
yes and no. We got a lot of complaints from a lot of people, probably as many complaints as I can remember on any particular topic. But we looked at it in the way that we typically look at things like this, did our legal research on it, and our answer to people is that if they want to change this, they need to go back to the General Assembly and get legislators to repeal or significantly alter this bill. It already appears that something like that's going to happen. The issue for us is, does this law violate individuals' civil liberties or constitutional rights? And while I don't think much of it, and I don't think it was a wise law to pass, it doesn't do any of those things. So we've advised people, if they don't like this law, to go back to their members of the legislature and do something about it, and I think they will.
Kent, y'all recently put out a statement regarding some new rules down in Radford. Fill us in on this, and one reason I want you to talk about it is because here in Charlottesville, of course, we happen to have a little university here that we're all proud of, and we're all aware that we've got a lot of students who live off grounds in houses and apartment houses around the city. And there's something going on at Radford that's really interesting in that regard.
I agree. In fact, let me say something about the General Assembly that's sort of related, because one of the bills that did not get through the Virginia General Assembly this year that we pushed was one that would give students the right to register to vote in local elections where they go to college. And this is an issue that we've actually litigated. We've won some cases on behalf of students. We've lost some cases, and we're trying to get it all straight through the legislative process, and legislators really just fail to deal with this again. Our experience in the Charlottesville area, actually, is the registrars there have been open to allowing students to register locally, so we really don't have a problem with Charlottesville, but it ends up that this is an issue that really changes from jurisdiction to jurisdiction depending on who the registrar is and whether they feel like allowing students to register to vote or not.
Yeah, and I guess very different in Williamsburg.
Right. In Williamsburg, for example, the registrar there is on the other end of the scale from the registrars in the Charlottesville area, and basically does everything he can to prevent students from registering to vote in local elections, including requiring them to register in places out of state. But on the question you just asked about Radford, I'm not exactly sure what precipitated this, although I can guess, but Radford has passed a new city ordinance that said outside of Radford itself, Radford University itself, and a small area around it, that if you are a student organization, you cannot have any kind of sign indicating who you are or why you're there. This includes even the Central Business District. I mean, imagine a student organization of some kind in Charlottesville that locates right off of campus in one of the area retail areas. And the way this ordinance reads, that student organization wouldn't be able to put out a sign, whereas everybody else in the same area could put out a sign. So for us, this is a free speech issue, and it's an issue, of course, of treating people differently for no apparent or rational reason.
We're talking with Kent Willis of the ACLU of Virginia. So this is a new law down in Radford, which essentially says that if you are a student at Radford University and you are off campus, off grounds, you're not allowed to put up any signs, whether it's a business or a home.
Right. Now, what happens is this. As you know, that in any area there's zoning, and you have these neutral rules that in a residential area maybe you can only have very small signs, and in a business area you can have larger and more signs. Zoning dictates these neutral rules. But what this rule says, that whether you are in the business district or in a residential area or any area, and you're a student organization, you can't put up a sign, even though everyone else in the area can put up a sign. Now, there are some subtleties to this, and I'm not sure all that's significant. There is something that allows you to put up temporary signs announcing events, but those have to be cleared through the city zoning administrator and through the college. You also can put up flags, but the flags have to be smaller than everybody else's flags, and those too have to be approved by the zoning administrator and the college.
And we're not talking about students who are on campus. We're talking about students who are paying rent, or maybe they own a home and they're living, they just happen to be living off grounds in Radford.
Exactly.
They are now subject to a law which particularly targets them, and obviously it inhibits their free speech as compared to somebody who might be living right next door and is not a student.
Exactly. Now, it's an interesting thing, because you're bringing up a good point. This says student organizations, but it's not clear what that means. And it could indeed be applied to, it seems to me, any student. If there are four students living in a house and for some reason they want to put up a sign, they may not be able to do that. Although it could very well be that they're just, that this is going to be narrowly interpreted to mean just organizations. And so this would be student-type organizations. In Radford, I gather, and I think this might be different from Charlottesville, I think a lot of the fraternities and sororities are located off campus.
And they might hang up the big sheets that have the big signs and come party with the Tri-Delts tonight or something.
Right. And a locality could pass an ordinance that says, I think it probably could, that says no sheets for signs.
But your point is there ought to be one law.
Students can't do sheets and other people can do sheets.
Yeah. You can't have different laws for different groups. when it comes to the signs, you should have one law for signs.
Exactly, and that's our argument, and we think it's an important one, and we've contacted the city attorney there. And what we're hoping to do, as we often can with blatantly unconstitutional ordinances like this, is once we talk to the attorney, he or she does a little research, and then he or she goes to the city council or board of supervisors and says, hey, you can't do this, let's repeal it. Be nice if it's that simple. Sometimes it isn't. We have to go to court.
Yeah. Kent Willis is the executive director of the ACLU of Virginia, online at ACLUVA.org, and that's where you can read the new Civil Liberties Review of the General Assembly session of 2007. Kent, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care. This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, CVillePodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit CVillePodcast.com for more.